Today on Real Radio.
The Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him. And just as it was with the fear of Moses, all the days of his life. All the days of his life, the people feared him, and God exalted him. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that Moses exalted himself. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that Joshua exalted himself. If God has a minister in place, they will never exalt themselves.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues now in his series through the book of Joshua. And chapter 4 tells us the account of the entire nation of Israel crossing the Jordan. It had been 40 years, four decades of wandering through the desert since being freed from the tyranny of Egypt, and now the big moment, getting into the Promised Land, had arrived. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a look at this portion of Joshua in a study called Possessing God's Promises.
Doesn't that sound so benign and innocent? The Bible is a book of principles to live your life by. That sounds so noble. This is the Word of God. It is life. It's the instruction manual for everything that will come in contact in our lives. Life has been programmed to this book. There's nothing outside your life or my life that this book does not handle. Directly or indirectly, the Word. Is it like milk to you, like a baby? It's so funny. You hold a baby. Sometimes when I'm dedicating the baby up here, when they're real little, and I'll hold them horizontal, they go. They think I could nurse them. They start searching. You ever seen that? In Israel, when the baby's born, the mother takes up the baby and begins to nurse the baby. But if the baby doesn't start nursing, you know what they do? They dip their finger. It's like a jelly, a jam. It has certain fruits mixed up in it, and it causes them to pucker. And the Hebrew moms, they'll take this stuff and they'll put it right on the baby's lip to get them to nurse, and they'll start sucking up, and they'll start nursing. And then as soon as the baby starts to nurse, this is the Hebrew mom. This is how they think, even to this day. As the baby begins to nurse, if the baby's nursing, where's their ear? Right by the mommy's mouth. And the mom says, first thing, in the hospital room, right in the nursing room there, whatever the thing, the nursing room. Yeah, the nursing mother's room. They say, the Lord, He is God. That baby hearing mommy's heartbeat, that baby getting nutrient and feeding, that baby associates comfort, rest, peace with the heart, nurturing, from the mother, and that baby grows up hearing the words as that baby's being nursed on the sincere, pure milk of the Word, so to speak. The Lord, He is God. Do you understand the association? The Lord, He is God. Nurse on, little baby. Grow strong and be comfortable because the Lord, He is God. You see that? Is that how it is in your life? That you run to the Word when you're stressed, or do you run to the bottle? Do you run to the milk or do you run to the Coke when things are tough? We are to grow. Children of God are to be growing. The next thing that we see, look at verse 13. It says, about 40,000 prepared for war. These crossed over as well. This is from the 2.5 tribes. Now, I don't want to spend time on this much other than this. Before the handing of the baton from Moses to Joshua, these 2.5 tribes had an agreement with Moses that when they would cross over, that they would stay on the eastern side of the Jordan, because, I know nobody in here can relate to this, they were all cattlemen and dairymen. And they had their herds. And that area of the land, the Old Testament tells us there, that was very, very profitable for grazing. And so they said, yeah, we'll go in for battle. We'll do everything with our brothers and sisters, but we just want to live on this side. And it was an arrangement with Moses. And so Joshua is true to that. But the contract was, you'll help your brothers and sisters secure the land. And out of Numbers, I believe it's Numbers chapter 26 or 27, you'll figure out here, if you go study that, there's somewhere around 137,000 people there, and 40,000 go, so you know, somewhere around 29, 30, 31% of the people. That's one out of every three males mentioned were qualified for war, which meant they were 20 years of age or older, these 40,000 guys. You had to be 20 years of age or older to be in the Israeli army. And so they cross over. Second point, verses 14 through 18, possessing God's promises requires obedience, both on two parts. Watch this. It requires obedience, listen carefully, to those whom God has called. Yeah, it's true. God's ministers, listen, jot it down if you would, because I know a lot of people that have been hurt by churches, or hurt by synagogues, or hurt by pastors, or hurt by priests, or hurt by rabbis, whatever your case might be. And you're saying, oh man, there's no way that I'm going to be submissive to those who God has called. Wait a minute, wait a minute. You better be submissive to those God has called, because God's called them. But if they ever say, be submissive to me, God's called me, it's time to get up and get out of there. You know what I'm saying? Somebody's on a power play. Note this. Possessing God's promises requires us to be obedient. To whom? Well, first of all, we see in verse 14, to those whom God has called. Just make sure God's called them. You ought to be able to tell. It says in verse 14, on the day that the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they had feared Moses all the days of his life. Listen to this. Three words I want you to, or three statements. Exalted, God did it. The people feared him. And just as it was with the fear of Moses, all the days of his life. All the days of his life, the people feared him, and God exalted him. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that Moses exalted himself. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that Joshua exalted himself. If God has a minister in place, they will never exalt themselves. They will be careful to inhabit and to inherit the ministry of John the Baptist, who said, it is better that I decrease, that what? He, God, Jesus, would increase. If ever there's a minister that walks around and says, well, you know, you need to kiss my ring and bow down to me, and I'll tell you, man, if it's not with the Word of God, which that conduct isn't, get out of there. You're to bow to Jesus and Jesus only. And if you're going to kiss anything, it'd be his heart. But God exalted Joshua. Joshua didn't exalt himself. And the people feared him. This word fear is just the word reverence. It's not a bad word. They didn't go, oh, there's Joshua. No, they didn't do that. What they did was, when they saw Joshua, they said, there's a man that God's using. There's a man that God's with. And God's not with men of God or women of God because they're cool. That minister of God better be with God because God is great. And they better be called to the ministry, and they better be able to know that. Now I'm going to give you three verses to back this up out of Scripture, and we'll be off to the next point. But we are to be obedient to those whom God has called, Joshua being one of them, the priests certainly in our text being others. But in Hebrews 13:7, the Bible says, remember those who rule over you, who speak the word of God to you. The word remember means they're to be lifting them up, to be praying for them, to be considering them. Why? Because they have faith, according to the Scripture, to those who are called. They have faith that you can follow, and you're to consider their outcome. Hebrews 13, verse 17 says, to obey those who rule over you and be submissive to them. Why? Because it says that they watch out for your souls and they must give an account for you in the day of judgment. Can you imagine? I don't know exactly what that means. But somehow in the day of judgment, will God say, Jack, what about Billy? Somehow I'm going to have to give an account. Was it for my teaching? Was it for the doctrine? Was I true to the Word of God? Or am I going to say, well, Billy slept through half the services, Lord. What am I supposed to tell you? I'm sorry, you know? I don't know. I know this, that every teacher of the Word of God will be judged by the Word itself with a stricter judgment, James tells us. If a person is called by God to be a speaker of the Word of God in a pastoral setting, there are teachers, there are many teachers in the church, but the pastor has to be a pastor teacher. There's the gift of teaching, then there's the gift of pastor teacher. That pastor teacher has got to labor for your soul. You may not care too much about your soul. That's the tough part. Sometimes I feel like crawling over this pulpit and grabbing people by the ears. Don't tell anybody this, but I feel like grabbing them by the ears and slamming their head against the Bible. Because they're like, oh, man, we're going to shut up. Oh. Can't wait to get out of here so I can do my thing. I'll be back next Sunday. See you next Sunday. And they come in and it's like, when's he going to shut up? It's like they don't even care. And I want to like go, you better care! It's going to count in the end, don't you know? I'm not going to be in trouble. You're going to be in trouble. Of course I can't do that. But that's what I feel like doing. You know the old thing, you can lead a horse to the water, just can't make him drink. If you had a horse, now think about it. If you had a horse, now this is my backward logic. If you have a horse, and you need, don't you need that horse? You take him to the water. Why? So he'll drink, so you can use him. If he doesn't drink, shoot him, and you can glue your model airplane together with him. What good is it if he won't drink? He's going to die anyway. Just shoot him and make glue out of him. Christians, so-called, you can lead them to the Word. Read it. Read it. I said read it. No, you want to run it down their throat, you know. I'm having such a big problem. I don't want... Have you read the Bible? No. Well, I'm not going to talk to you until you read the Bible about it. Well, you're not very nice. Well, what can I say? Are you a Christian? Yeah! Have you read the Bible? No. Then I'm not going to talk to you. I can tell you where to read, but I'm not going to talk to you until you read it. You got to read it. Why? Because you're a Christian. Obedience to the Word of God. Hebrews 13, verse 24, greet all those who rule over you. It means to encourage them. Why? Because they have a tendency to get discouraged in light of what I just got done saying. Who's listening? Remember, obey, and greet. I love Jesus' example. In Mark 12, 37, the Bible says, and the common people heard him gladly. You think they had a problem submitting to Jesus? Not at all. When you know God loves you, or your leadership loves you, you're fine. Joshua loved them. Moses loved them. The priests of the people loved them, and they knew it. But listen, also possessing God's promises in verses 15 through 18 regarding this point about obedience is that there's an obedience required of the ministers to God. It says, the Lord spoke, verse 15, to Joshua, saying, here comes the command. And the command came to Joshua, and look at verse 16. The command flows from Joshua to the priest, who bear the Ark of the Testimony, to come up. Tell them to come up from the Jordan. So Joshua commanded them, saying, come up from the Jordan. Simple, didn't add any word to it, just did what he said. And it came to pass, when the priest who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came up from the midst of the Jordan, that the soles of the feet of the priest touched the dry land, and the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed all of its banks. That would have been a great thing to see. I love that. Just as God said, obedience to His Word. Jesus said in John 5:24, He said, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in Him who has sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. When those people crossed that Jordan River, and the judgment is associated with judgment, they passed through it and they went, so to speak, from death to life. Remember Naaman in Naaman, the Syrian pagan general. He had leprosy. And Elijah says, I'm not going to talk to him. Just tell him to go dip 7 times in the Jordan River and he'll be healed of his leprosy. And that news came to Naaman, and he said, I'm not going to go dip in the Jordan River. It's filthy. We have cleaner rivers here where I live. That wasn't the command. Elijah said, go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. So, I'm not going to do that. Well, then die in your leprosy. You know what happens? Your nose starts to fall off. The skin turns white. Your ears fall off. Your fingers begin to fall off. Your feet fall off from leprosy. They used to wrap up the ends of their noses, ears, and feet, because what would happen is when the lepers would go to sleep at night, rats would come and eat their feet and eat their noses and ears, and they wouldn't even know it because you can't feel it. It's all dead. It's dead skin, and it eventually falls off. So if you were Naaman, what would you do if you had leprosy? I think I'd go down to the Jordan River and dip 7 times. And you're saying, well, yeah, man, you betcha. It makes sense. God said it through his prophet. Finally, he goes down there. Can you imagine? And he had with him a little servant girl who was Israeli. And she's the one who actually kind of introduced him to Elijah. And she goes, 7 times? You know, he said 7 times. So he dips. 1, 2. Oh, this is stupid. No, come on, come on, come on. Keep going. 3, 4, 5. This is so dumb. I don't understand this. I don't know. God said to do it. 6. Here it goes. 7. Up he comes up out of the Jordan, brand new skin, like a baby. Now you could have sit there and go, man, look at that stupid guy dipping 7. Look, 4, 5, 6. What a jerk. Who is that guy? It's like he's trying to go across the river on a pogo stick. What's wrong with that guy? He looks stupid. How do you reconcile that? How do you understand that? I don't understand it. God just said, do it. Well, if I just understood it, then I would, you know, I'd be able to do it. There's some things you're never going to understand. God says, do it. The third thing is verses 19 to 20, and that is possessing God's promises gives us peace. This is fun. Are you ready for this? It says, now the people came up from the Jordan River on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped at Gilgal. That is awesome. Why? Because you know what? The 10th day of the first month, is not January. We're pagan Gentile world where we live in. The first month in the Hebrew calendar is Nisan. The first month of the year. It starts for us somewhere around March or April. Well, why don't we make up our mind? Because it has to do with the full moon. That's why it changes. Oh, you know it quite well. You'll always ask, what day is, or what time of the week, or what week will Easter be on this year? Right? You ever do that? You want to know why? It's tied to Passover. You want to know why? It's tied to the new moon. You want to know why? God commanded Moses and the children of Israel to have it that way when they were in Egypt. Well, when was that? Watch this. I'm going to read it to you. You can mark it down in your notes. The 10th day of the first month. Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this shall be the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel and tell them this. On the 10th day of this month, every man will take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for his household. Verse 4, and if the household's too small, it had to be at least 10 people. 10 people make a synagogue. This is right before the death angel passes through Egypt and kills all the firstborn. Remember Charlton Heston's in there with everybody? And it's about ready to happen? The house is too small, then get your neighbors together, but it's got to be 10 people. And look, each man's need you shall make for your count for a lamb who's now, look, verse 5, your lamb, it shall be without blemish, a male the first year. So it's the lamb, a lamb, your lamb. Verse 12, chapter 12, for I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against the gods of Egypt I will execute my judgment, for I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not come near to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be a memorial. There you go, that word again, a monument. And you shall keep it as a feast of the Lord throughout all of your generations, and it shall be kept forever as an everlasting ordinance. The 10th day of the first month was when God told Israel, while they were in Egypt under Pharaoh, get a lamb, get a little lamb without blemish, pick them, select them on the 10th day of the month. That started with Moses, 40 years earlier to the day.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio. In a study that takes a look at the second half of Joshua chapter 4, it's called Possessing God's Promises. It's a look at the actual history of Israel's people finally crossing the Jordan River after decades of living in the wilderness. Possessing God's Promises. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse examination of this fascinating Old Testament book, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, here on Real Radio, we've got a feature called Ask Pastor Jack, where Pastor Jack answers questions sent in by Real Radio listeners from all over the world. Now, Pastor Jack, here's a good one for you. This comes from Jenny, who's struggling with an issue. And by the way, this one's very near and dear to my heart, so I'm going to listen close myself. Jenny writes, Dear Pastor Jack, thank you so much for your words. I really enjoy listening to the Ten Commandments series. I have this question no one's answered for me yet. Can someone own a gun and keep it under their bed to defend themselves? My brother-in-law thinks it's okay to keep it for protection. My mother, who lives with him, doesn't believe so, and neither do I. I think it's an idol. God will protect us in the end, won't he? Thank you, Jenny. All right, Pastor Jack, all yours.
Yeah, Jenny, listen, what... First of all, I love your question. Yeah. Jenny, first of all, what if David said to himself, I'm not going to own a sword, a sling, or bow and arrow?
Right.
What if Joshua said the same thing? In fact, Jenny, listen, Jesus said there's going to come a time that you're going to need to sell what you have and buy a sword, and in fact, have two of them. Did you know that? Jesus said that. Paul the Apostle said, if a man does not provide for his home, he's worse than a non-believer, and that word includes protecting his home. Jenny, I take issue, though, with one thing. Here in California, we can own guns, but we can't keep them under our bed. We have to keep them safely put away. Yeah. And so that's not a good thing if that's what your brother's doing. However, listen, it is a man's and a woman's right, for that matter, biblically and constitutionally, to defend their own home. And it is not wrong to own a gun or to defend yourself as a Christian, by no means. We are to conduct ourselves wisely, though, and safely in accordance with the laws of the land. But honestly, if your brother owns a gun and is wise and safe and careful, then actually the scriptures endorse and actually stand behind what he's saying. And Jenny, I want to use what you said to speak to a lot of people today. We can honestly, lovingly, sincerely say, God will protect me. But I got to tell you, in a town not far from us, a woman had that view. I heard about this recently through somebody at church. And her husband was away. She had a daughter. She would not learn how to use the gun.
Right.
A man broke into the home and said, I'm going to rape your daughter, and I'm going to slit both your throats when I'm done. And she had no means of protecting herself. And now, thank God, the end of this story was not as that man said, but it completely changed her attitude about self-protection.
Thank God.
Listen, God will take care of us, and God has also said, defend your home and provide for your home. So I guess I just became friends of all the NRA members out there, but upset maybe some. Listen, let's be wise. We can say that, you know, I don't need to do anything. I'm not going to vote because God knows how it's going to turn out in the end.
No.
Oh, my goodness.
No.
That's not the right biblical worldview way of thinking. So we're going to want to learn more about that.
Thanks, Pastor Jack. Ask Pastor Jack is something we feature from time to time right here on Real Radio. If you'd like, email your question to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. That's askpastorjack, all one word, @realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.